We're going to look at a passage of Scripture, verses 1 through 11. And as you turn there, I just want to get your attention to what I'm going to speak about, and that is this, doing a work for God. And typically, during a New Year's service such as this, we often think about what we have accomplished in the past year. We look back and see the good things that we've done. We look back and look at some things maybe perhaps that we didn't do so well. And we try and make some adjustments as we move forward. And we analyze what we've done in the past. And that is good and that's right. And we should do that. We should every year look back and see the goals that we had set and see where we landed on those goals. But I'm kind of like Paul in this, is that I don't want to spend too much time focusing on those victories perhaps that we've had in the past. And in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, he says this. He says, brethren, he says, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, he says, I haven't made it yet. He says, but this one thing I do. He says, I forget those things which are behind me, and I look forward to those things, or press forward to those things which are before. And I want to do that tonight. I want you and I to look forward to those things that are going to happen in 2018 here at Sharon Baptist Church. As we look at this passage of Scripture, we are going to find that Solomon is in a building project. He's in a building program. As a matter of fact, he tackles one of the most immense projects that has ever been taken on for the Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice that there's some things that we're going to be able to glean from this passage about doing a work for God. And I don't know if you knew this or not, but we're looking forward to here in this next year, perhaps, being in a building program here at Sharon Baptist Church. And we've got some sound things we've got to take care of first. But following that, we've got plans for a building project. But I want you to understand this, that these truths don't just apply to being in a building project. They apply to doing a work for God, period. And so I want you to think about how it is that you're going to serve God in this next year and do a wonderful work for Him. I would guess this, if you're a saved, born-again child of God, that you want to do a work for God. I want to do a work for God. I want the things that we do here about Sharon Baptist Church to have eternal value and to impact the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's stand again at this passage of Scripture. We're going to read 1 through 11, 2 Chronicles chapter number 2. The Bible says this, and Solomon determined to build a house for the name of the Lord and a house for his kingdom. And Solomon told out 70,000 men to bear burdens, and 80,000 to hew in the mountain, and 3,600 to oversee them. And Solomon sent to Huram, king of Tyre, saying, as thou didst deal with David my father, and didst send him cedars to build him a house to dwell therein, even so deal with me. Behold, I build a house to the name of the Lord my God, to dedicate it to him, and to burn before him sweet incense, and for the continual shewbread, and for the burnt offerings, morning and evening, and on the Sabbaths, and on the new moons, and on the solemn feasts of the Lord our God. This is an ordinance forever to Israel. And the house which I build is great, for great is our God above all gods. But who is able to build him a house, seeing the heaven and heaven the heavens cannot contain him? Who am I then that I should build him a house, save only to burn sacrifice before him? Send me now therefore a man cunning to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in iron and in purple and crimson and blue, and that can skill to grave the cunning men that are with me in Judah and in Jerusalem, whom David my father did provide. Send me also cedar trees, fir trees, and algum trees out of Lebanon, for I know that thy servants can skill to cut timber in Lebanon, and behold, my servants shall be with thy servants, even to prepare me timber in abundance, for the house which I'm about to build shall be wonderful great. And behold, I will give to thy servants, the hewers that cut timber, 20,000 measures of beaten wheat, 20,000 measures of barley, 20,000 baths of wine, and 20,000 baths of oil. Notice this. Then Huram, king of Tyre, said this, answered in writing, which he sent to Solomon, because the Lord hath loved his people, he hath made thee king over them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture where we see a man that was appointed by you to be the king in Israel in a building project, doing a work for God. And Lord, I know that towards the latter part of his life is not a remarkable thing in Solomon's life, but here towards the beginning of his life, he certainly did a wonderful work for you. Lord, our desire here at Sharon Baptist Church is to do a work for God. It's to do something that's going to make an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ now and for the time to come, Lord, as long as you should tarry. So, Father, I pray that as we look at this, Lord, help us to glean some truths quickly and understand how we can be effective in doing a work for God in the coming year. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm talking fast so that I can go fast to fit within this 25-minute window. And so, listen, as we come to this passage, we see Solomon executing one of the most fantastic works for God that has ever been accomplished, and that is in the building of the temple. This is the first temple, by the way. The second temple was actually greater, if you will. That was the one that Zerubbabel built and was added onto by Herod. This was the one that was greater because the Lord Jesus Christ walked in it. But this temple, I want you to know, was fantastic. It was a magnificent work, and it was no small task that Solomon had in front of him. As a matter of fact, if you look at the description of this temple, you'll find this to be the case, that it was one of the wonders of the world at that time. And when folks would see this temple, they would just marvel because of the gold walls and the gold ornaments and all the jewels and the items that were used in making this great temple. And so Solomon certainly completed this magnificent work for God. And I believe this, God blessed, because his presence came down to that very temple. And so I wonder, as we start this new year, are you and I here at Sharon Baptist Church, are we ready and in a position to do a work for God? And I want you to notice some things I'm going to give you to them. If you'll write them down, they are alliterated so you can remember them as we go throughout this next year. Now, you write these down and think about this as we go into the new year, because we want to do a wonderful work for God, do we not? The first thing is this. I want you to notice in the text here, number one, Solomon's determination. Solomon's determination. Now, notice there in verse number one, it says this, "And Solomon determined to build a house for the name of the Lord and a house for his kingdom." I want you to understand, first of all, if you're going to do a work for God, it's going to have to start with the number one thing, and that is this, a determination. As a matter of fact, that word determined means to have a firm or a fixed purpose. And if we're going to do anything for God here at Sharon Baptist Church, we are going to have a firm or a fixed purpose. And the question is this, and you can ask this question to yourself, what is your firm or fixed purpose for this new year? What is that thing that you are focusing on? Is it doing a work for God, or perhaps is your firm or fixed purpose upon something else? We find here that Solomon had a firm or fixed purpose on doing and building this temple for God. As a matter of fact, 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9 says this, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth." And that's basically saying this, that God doesn't necessarily have eyeballs like you and I do, but this is what we call an anthropomorphism. It's attributing a man's attributes to God. And so God is looking down. He's looking to and fro, and he's looking through the hearts of men. And guess what he's looking for? He's looking to show himself strong. Now get this, in behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. And so God is looking down upon us here at Sharon Baptist Church. He's looking down upon us as individuals, and he's looking for a man, he's looking for a woman, he's looking for a local New Testament church who is determined to do a work for God. He's looking for a people that are determined and are fully set upon God to do a mighty work for him. And God is looking for such a people so that he might show himself strong on their behalf. And I want you to understand that Solomon had this determination. And it wasn't just an unfounded determination, by the way. Notice what the verse says. Solomon determined to build a house, now notice this, for the name of the Lord. And this is key, by the way, for us. Our reasons for going into a building project isn't just to make ourselves big. It's not just to make a name for Sharon Baptist Church. It's not just to say, hey, we're the big Baptist church down the street that's adding on to our building. No, the reason and the purpose for us doing a work is for the name of the Lord. And by the way, everything that we should do should be determined for the name of the Lord. And I would say and submit to you this, if we do things for the name of the Lord, we should understand that these things should be the very best that we can do them. You know, I've got our trailer back here, and some folks got together and they built a deck for us. And it's a nice deck. It's a wonderful deck. But you know what? As great of a deck as it is, if I was building that deck for the Lord Jesus Christ, I would want it to be 10 times better than what I've got back there. And so as we look at doing things here and doing work for God, if we're going to do them for the Lord, let's do them the very best that we can do them, because it's for the name of the Lord. Now notice also in this about Solomon's determination. He was building a house for the name of the Lord, and then notice at the end of the verse, and a house for his kingdom. Now every Bible scholar that I've looked at on this verse here says this, is that this is in reference to not only the temple, but this is in reference to Solomon's house that he was building for himself. And this was a secondary project. In lieu of building this magnificent temple, Solomon was going to build a house for his kingdom. Now, what I want you to understand about this is with Solomon's determination is that not only was he looking to the immediate, but Solomon was also building to provide for the future of his kingdom. Now, I want you to understand, if we're going to do a work for God, we don't need to just provide for the immediate needs of Sharon Baptist Church. We don't need just to provide for what's going to satisfy us right now, but we need to provide for what is going to be good for long term for the work of the Lord here at Sharon Baptist Church. And so as we have this determination, first of all, it's for the name of the Lord, and then as we look at it, we're also going to build in such a manner that we're preparing for, guess what? For the future. And we've really strived at this as the projects that we do here at Sharon Baptist Church. We're not just focusing on the immediate implications of what's going to go on here in the immediate future, but we're looking long-term down the road to try and be diligent to prepare for the needs of the future. And Proverbs 21:5 says, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. As a matter of fact, this pattern, we can see it in God's statement. In Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, God said this, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you, now notice this, an expected end. Aren't you glad that God doesn't just plan for your immediate problems and the immediate things that are going on, but God looks all the way down the road and says, you know what? My thoughts to you are to give you a, guess what? Unexpected end. And as we are children of God, we should actually try and emulate and think the same way God does. In other words, when we go through our planning process and when we look at our determination to do a work for God, we should be looking down the road and seeing what we can prepare for to have an expected end. And so first of all, we see Solomon's determination. Secondly, I want you to see this. Solomon's dedication. We find this in verses 2 through 5. And verse 2 says this, and Solomon told out 80,000 men to bear burdens, and 80,000 to hew in the mountains, and 3,600 to oversee them. Now, I'm going to give you three C's in this dedication. Three C's. The first one is committing resources. Committing resources. I want you to understand here, if you're going to do a work for God, it's not going to come at no price. You're going to have to commit resources to do a work for God. And we see here that Solomon committed 70,000 men just to bear burdens. He not only did that, but he committed 80,000 men to hew wood. And then we find that he committed another 3,600 men for the supervising of that work. And in case you didn't add all those up very quickly, I did it for you. That means this, he committed 128,600 men just for this project. Now, I don't agree with the way that Solomon did it. He conscripted his help. In other words, he took the people and said, this is what you will do. And I'm not saying we should do that here at Sharon Baptist Church. But what I am saying this is that Solomon committed resources to do a work for God. And by the way, if you're going to do a work for God, you're going to have to commit some resources. Just like Pastor Tim talked about soul winning. Well, guess what? If you're going to go soul winning, you're going to have to commit your time to go soul winning. You're going to have to actually go out there and do it. It's not just good enough to talk about it. It's not just good enough to say, you know what, I'm determining to do this. But you're actually going to have to commit some resources to actually go out and do it. So we have committed resources. Secondly, under Solomon's dedication, he consulted others. He consulted others. Verse number 3. And Solomon sent to Huram, the king of Tyre, saying, as thou didst deal with my father David, and didst send him cedars to build him a house to dwell therein. He says, even so, deal with me. In other words, Solomon said this, you know what? Although God has given me wisdom above all men upon the earth, I'm still going to have to consult others to get the job done. And by the way, none of us are islands unto ourselves. Not one of us can do it all ourselves. In other words, accomplish this great work for God in and of ourselves. It's going to take every one of you to participate in doing a work for God for us to accomplish what God has in his divine plan for Sharon Baptist Church in 2018. And by the way, all of you are gifted with different spiritual gifts. All of you have been given different earthly talents. And guess what? God, who knows everything and is sovereign over all things, has placed you here for a specific time and a specific purpose, and has brought all the right people together for us to do, guess what? Do a work for God. And so if we're going to do a work for God in our dedication, we have to commit resources and consult others. And then thirdly, I want you to notice this, see, he committed the work to God. Look there at verse number 4. It says, behold, I build a house to the name of the Lord my God to dedicate it to guess who? To him. And everything we're going to do here, we're going to dedicate it to guess who? God. And I want you to understand this in that verse there. Notice what he says here. He says, behold, I build a house. In other words, we could say this, that each one of you are going to have a personal commitment to doing a work for God. Solomon didn't take this thing and say, all right, they're going to build the house over here, or those guys over there are going to take care of it. No, he said this. He said, I am going to build a house for my God. And he committed himself to it and dedicated this work to guess who? Almighty God. And so we see here Solomon's dedication. Thirdly, I want you to write this down. Solomon's declaration. Notice verse number 5 here. Now, I like this verse. He says this, and the house which I build is what? Great. Now, he goes on to say this, because the verse doesn't stop there. He says, for great is our God above all gods. In other words, he's saying this, I'm going to build this great temple, and I'm not just building it for any reason at all. He says, I'm going to build this great temple because guess what? Great is our God. And I'm here to tell you, if you're going to do a work for God, your vision of God will determine what you do for God and how you do it. Do you understand that if you have a small God, you will do small works for God? You understand if your vision of God is not what it should be, you're not going to try and do the impossible, or you're not going to try and do a great work for God because you only think of your God on a menial level, as it will. But I want you to understand this, that our God is, guess what? He is a great God. And therefore, when we do something for God, it should be great because he is great. And so Solomon's vision of God here was one that was big. I want you to understand the difference between two men. David and Saul. You realize both of those men were set apart by God to be the king of Israel. David was set apart by God to be king of Israel. Saul was set apart by God to be king of Israel. You realize both of those men were anointed to be God's man, as it were, on the throne. Saul was anointed, and then also David was anointed. So what is it that happened when this Philistines came up against them, and they had this champion by the name of Goliath of Gath? Why is it that David could go out and slay the giant, and meanwhile you find Saul in the tent, fearful of the giant that was out on the field? I'll tell you why, because David's vision of God was one of a big God. In other words, he was able to take on the giant because guess what? That giant in comparison to God was nothing. Whereas Saul's vision of God was diminished because he had moved out of, guess what? Fellowship with God. And so therefore, he could not slay the giant because his vision of God was small. I want you to think about a man by the name of Elijah. And this story is about Ahaziah. Ahaziah was a wicked king. He had gone out to battle and got injured. When he had come back, the Bible says that he fell through a lattice and he was upon his bed. And he sent out some folks to find out from Elijah, who was a prophet at the time, whether or not he was going to come out of that bed from his sickness. And as they came up to Elijah and they asked him, Elijah said, well, he's going to die. He's going to die right there in that bed. He went back and told Ahaziah, and Ahaziah didn't like that very much. And so what Ahaziah did is he said, look, I want this captain of 50, and I want these 50 armed men to go to that man of God, and I want you to bring them here to me. And so this captain and his 50 went out to the man of God, Elijah. Elijah's sitting on top of a hilltop. And if you know the story, they come up to the side of the hill, and they go up and they say, "Elijah, thou man of God, the king Ahaziah commands thee to come down." Elijah said to him? He said this statement. He says, "If I be a man of God," he said, "then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And you know what happened after he said that? Fire came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. You know why? Because he said this, "If I be a man of God, Almighty God, then let fire come down and consume thee and thy 50. In other words, we could say this, Elijah had a big vision of who God was in his life. And by the way, it doesn't stop there. Ahaziah was foolish enough to send another band of the captain and his 50. And they came up and said, "Elijah, I want you to come down from that hillside. The king commands it." He repeats the statement. He said, "If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And sure enough, fire came down. Oh, by the way, the third round that comes around, that captain gets up there and he just grovels before Elijah and he humbles himself. And God tells him, "You know what? This man's humbled himself before me. Go ahead and go with that man." That story, by the way, is in 2 Kings chapter 1, verses 1 through 15, if you want to look at it. We can think of others such as Moses. You know, Moses could not have talked to Pharaoh the way he did if he did not have a big vision of God. There's absolutely no way you'd go into the most powerful man in the world at the time and say, "Hey, let my people Israel go." You would not do that. But you know what? Moses had a big vision of who God was. I think about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And those men right there, as they're confronting Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the whole world at the time, had a big vision of God. You see, your vision of God will determine how you work for God and what you do for God. And also, secondly, your value of God will determine what you do for God. I want you to understand, if you value your relationship with God and your fellowship with God, you will attempt great things for your God. If you value your relationship and your fellowship with God, you will attempt great things for your God. Philippians 3:8 says this, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ." In other words, Paul's saying this. He says, "Look, I've lost everything following after the Lord Jesus Christ, but I count all of that stuff that I've lost as worthless because of the excellency of the knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." You see, he counted that relationship and that fellowship with God more important than anything else on this green earth. And so we find that our vision of God, our declaration of God, will determine what we do in this next year. Number four, and I'm hurrying. Number four, verse number six, is Solomon's realization. Solomon's realization. I want you to understand that this is an internal thing right here. And you and I internally need to have this realization if we're going to do work for God. And here is the realization right here, verse number six. It says this, "But who is able to build him a house, seeing the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him? Who am I then that I should build a house save only to burn sacrifice before him?" Could I translate that into old Virginian speech? It says this, "I can't do it because God is so great." Solomon's looking at this immense project and says, "God is so great that I can't do this magnificent work for him." But I want you to understand this, that though you cannot do a good work for God, guess what? God can work in and through you to do a great work for God. And we find in Philippians 4:13, I think it's Miss Debbie's favorite verse, it's this, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And so while we should have the realization that, look, I can't do this great work for God because God is so great, but we should realize that, guess what? That we can do things through who? Christ, which strengtheneth me. Luke 18, verse 27, the Lord Jesus Christ said this, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Listen, when we look at doing a work for God here at Sharon Baptist Church, I want you to do this. Don't contemplate what is possible. Listen, we can do the possible ourselves. I can do the possible in the arm, my strength of flesh. I can do the possible without God. I want us to do this. Let's look at doing the impossible, because guess what? My God specializes in the impossible. And if we're going to do a great work for God, we're going to say, you know what, God, I can't do it, but you can, and I want to do the impossible so that you show yourself strong on my behalf. And so we find Solomon's realization. He also says this, who am I to do such a work for God? And Paul, by the way, echoes this sentiment. And you and I should echo this humble attitude before God. Who are we that we should be able to do a work for God? Who are we that are worthy to be able to do a work for God? I say this is us going out soul winning on Saturdays. Listen, we're not worthy to go out and tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. It is a wonderful thing that God has committed unto us, that gospel of reconciliation. And we have a great privilege, but you know what? We're really not worthy to do it. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:8, this is Paul speaking, he says, unto me, he says, who am the least or the less, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul says, I'm not worthy to go out and preach this gospel to the Gentiles. 1 Corinthians 15:9, for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to even be called apostle. He says, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle. Why? Because he says, I persecuted the church of God. So we find so far we have Solomon's determination, we have Solomon's dedication, we have Solomon's declaration, we have Solomon's realization, and then number five, we have this, Solomon's preparation. Notice there in verses number 7, 8, and 9. The Bible says, send me now, therefore, a man cunning to work. Notice in verse number 8, send me also cedar trees, fir trees, and algum trees. Notice in, verse number 9, even to prepare me a timber. And what we find here is Solomon preparing to do this great work. And by the way, there's two parts of preparation that you and I need to do. First of all is a temporal preparation, a temporal preparation. By the way, in case y'all didn't know this, a lot of what Pastor Dave and I do during the week is temporal preparation. We come in here, we straighten up the auditorium. Sometimes Debbie gets to it before we do, and we take things and move things around the house of God, and we make sure that bulletins are printed, we make sure that sermons are straight, we make sure track racks are filled up. My wife takes care of that responsibility, and a lot of these things are just temporal in nature. And by the way, the money is a temporal thing, but you know what? If you're going to do a work for God, there's some temporal preparation that has to take place. I'll give you an example. If I'm going to go out soul winning, I have to go ahead and dress the right way to go out soul winning. That's a temporal preparation. I have to grab my Bible to make sure that I have a Bible. So if someone says, hey, what must I do to be saved? I can open it up and show them in God's Word. This is what you must do to be saved. That's a temporal preparation. I have to show up here at 10 o'clock on Saturday. That's me plugging soul winning. And I have to cut out the time to do that. That's all temporal preparation, you see. But then secondly, in this preparation, there is spiritual preparation. When you get over to chapter number 5 and chapter number 6, we're not going to turn there, don't worry, but chapter 5 and chapter 6, we find that Solomon dedicates this temple. This is after the work is completed. And Solomon does two things. He offers an immense number of sacrifices before God. And I want you to understand this. Solomon didn't roll up that day and say, you know what, I guess I'm going to offer some sacrifices today. I guarantee you this, there was some spiritual preparation before he ever got to the day where he was dedicating that temple to prepare for that sacrifice. We find also in chapter 6 that he said one of the most magnificent prayers that has ever been uttered out of the lips of man. And you go and read it sometime, and you'll find this to be the case. Solomon didn't just roll up that day and say, hey, I'm going to whiff off some prayer to God, and I'm gonna dedicate it to God. No, he prepared himself spiritually before that day even came. And so if we're going to do a work for God, we have to be prepared as Solomon was prepared. Temporal preparation and spiritual preparation. There's three ways you can do that. Seek God's face in prayer. Seek God's face, God's wisdom in his word. In other words, take time exploring the Scriptures, reading your Bible, and seeking God's wisdom out of His Word. And then we find, number three, seek God's work in our lives by being plugged into everything that goes on here at Sharon Baptist Church. And I'm not going to apologize for saying everything, by the way. I think a child of God should be plugged into everything they can be here at Sharon Baptist Church without demising your family and without demising the other temporal things that you have to take care of. Let me qualify that. But listen, if you're available to be plugged into the work here at Sharon Baptist Church, it would behoove you to get plugged into the work here at Sharon Baptist Church. Lastly, and I close, is this. Solomon's implementation. We've had Solomon's determination. We've had Solomon's dedication, Solomon's declaration. We see Solomon's realization. We see Solomon's preparation. And then lastly is Solomon's implementation. Chapter 3, verse number 1. Says this. Then Solomon began to build. Solomon began to build. We live in a day where there's a lot of this and not a whole lot of this. Okay? In other words, we're always in the determining phase, and we're always in the preparation phase, and we're always in the realization phase. God, I'm not worthy to do this work. We're always in all these phases, but then when it comes down to the most rubber meets the road phase, this implementation phase, we somehow fall short. We talk a lot about, I want to serve God, and I want to do this for God, and I want to do a great work for God. When we mount that, and I believe in the heart of hearts, I believe God's people mean it with every fiber of their being. When they come to this altar and they say, God, I'm going to give myself to you. I'm going to go soul winning this year. I'm going to read my Bible this year. I'm going to memorize Scripture this year. I'm going to do this work for God in the bus ministry this year. I believe in the heart of hearts that God's people mean it. But there has to be an implementation. There has to be a time when you do the work of God, not just talk about it. And so we find Solomon prepared all this stuff. He conscripted the men to do it. He got the materials together to do it. He realized the fact that God is so great and I am so small. He realized the work was immense. He dedicated it to God and gave it to God. But then we find in chapter 3, verse number 1, he began to do it. He implemented the work of God. And all the preparation in the world amounts to nothing if there's no implementation. It'd be just like me having the gospel of Jesus Christ, having what cures the sin, root sin, and the cause of folks going to hell in your life, and I never tell you once about Jesus Christ. It does no good residing in my heart. It has to come out, and I have to deliver that gospel to somebody else and tell them about the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. And so there has to be an implementation. I think about these two examples, and I'm closing. Imagine if Henry Ford had these great ideas about an automobile, had them all up here. He even gathered up all the materials to put together an automobile, had great skill in maybe testing out an automobile, but he never implemented that. Can you imagine how different it would be here in the United States of America without cars? Can you imagine it would be like if... The Wright brothers had this great fanciful idea about flying. They gathered all the materials together. They thought about it. It was a great idea. They came up with this great strategy of how they're going to fly, but they never went to Kitty Hawk and took that first flight. Boy, where would we be here today? Two verses, Psalm 78:41, Mark 6, 5, and 6. Write those down. Two verses, both echoing the same sentiment from the Holy One of Israel. Psalm 78:41, Mark chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. First one says this, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. It's talking about the children of Israel. It's talking about as soon as they left Egypt. As soon as they were released from the bondage of sin, and as they rolled out of there on their way to the promised land, guess what they did? They turned back multiple times and says, boy, I wish we were back in Egypt. Tempted the Holy One of Israel. Mark 6, 5 and 6. This is Jesus in the town of Nazareth, his hometown. He says this, and he could there do no mighty work save that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and he healed them. It says, and he marveled. This is God Almighty, God in the flesh, looking at his own hometown, marveling because of their unbelief. And he went about the villages teaching. They limited the Holy One of Israel. Not because God was any weaker, by the way, but because they lacked faith to do a work for God. I'm just simply saying, in this next year, we're going to do a mighty work for God. We're going to attempt the impossible. But it's going to take some dedication. It's going to take some determination. It's going to take a declaration and some realization. It's going to take some preparation for you and I. And then I want you to not be scared when we get to this last part, because it's going to come. And that's this. Implementation. We're going to walk by faith, right? And not by sight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for, Lord, this great example of Solomon building a great work for you. Father, I pray, Lord, that this year, 2018, we would see a magnificent work for God done. Not because we're able to do it, but God, because you're the God of the impossible. Father, as we step by faith, and as we prepare and implement, Father, would you do a mighty work? Lord, we do love you. We thank you. We ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. We've been sitting